At this time, we have a special speaker this morning, all the way from Cerro Gordo Township.
Oh, yeah. All the way from Cerro Gordo.
Arlo Anderson. Let's give him a round of applause.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, as Dan implied, and maybe you didn't catch, Pastor Ed's on vacation. That's how come you don't see him up here. Pastor Eric. Man, I'm two pastors ago. This is hopeless. Jeepers. I think Ed was going on vacation too last I talked to him. Well, never mind, never mind. Anyway, happy Father's Day to all of you. It's awesome to be a dad. And as I got the sermon for Father's Day, I got to be thinking about my father. I had a great dad, and he was a farmer like I am. I loved what he did. And so when I was a kid, I would follow him all over, walking after him, following him, doing this, riding on the tractors, riding on the combine, riding on the trucks, going down to the barn, milking the cows, picking the eggs. We did everything. I got my strap here. It's a little bit tight. Okay, got it. Anyways, did everything together, and so I loved it so much, I decided I'm going to do what he did. So I joined him in the farming, and we farmed together for 20 years, and we got to the point where I knew what that guy was thinking, and he knew what I was thinking. It was a great relationship, and we trusted each other. We trusted the other one, you know, was going to do it right most of the time. So him not so much at the beginning when I first started, and me not so much at the end as he was forgetting stuff. But anyway, so there was this great relationship. And then when he passed away, all of a sudden, this person who had been like a one-of-a-kind relationship in my life, because, you know, we'd been doing this together for so long, and then that person was gone, and there was this kind of aloneness. It wasn't loneliness, because I still had my family, I mean, I still had all my friends, but there was this chunk that was gone. And I remember just that was for years that kept on just like, oh man, I wish I could talk to my dad, you know, but he wasn't there. He left the room. And so when Eric asked me to do this sermon on Father's Day, I got to step back a little bit and tell you that I'm going to just tell you that in my relationship with my Heavenly Father, sometimes I sense that same aloneness. I got seasonal aloneness, I like to call it, because it always occurs right around spring planting time, right around harvest time, when I don't spend enough time with him and in interacting with him, and our relationship kind of gets kind of chilly. Niece can testify when I'm not spending enough time with the Heavenly Father, because I get kind of grumpy and kind of crabby. Start looking a little pessimistic at things. And, you know, it's almost like if you don't spend enough time with your spouse, pretty soon you start picking out all the negative things about that person. And if you allow yourself to continue in that way, pretty soon all you can think of is negative things. And that's the way I get with my Lord, with my Father, with my Heavenly Father. I start thinking about the heavenly things, the negative things, and I've got this bad attitude. And so, Eric, we're coming off of a long, long season of spring planting. Oh, that thing was going on forever. And so I'm just coming off that. I was feeling that aloneness, let's put it that way. And so Eric says, hey, you want to do the Father's Day sermon? And I thought, instantly, as soon as he said that, this part of a verse popped into my head, show us the Father. You know, I better preach on that, because when I get into these times of aloneness, that's what I want. I want more than anything is I want to see the Father. I want to see him, you know, because by then my faith is starting to wane, my trust is starting to wane, and I just want to see the Father. So I thought, yeah, I'll do it. I know what I'm going to preach on. I know I'm going to do it. And so that's where we are. And just before we go any further, I want to make sure that you know that the Father does not leave the room. He never leaves you. And I found three promises. The Bible is full of promises. When Moses was transferring the leadership over to Joshua, God told him to tell the people of Israel this. He said, tell them to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, the people that they were going to go into the land of. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you and forsake you. And then again, in a couple of verses later, Moses says this to Joshua. He says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And you might say, well, yeah, they're saying that to the Israelites, but the writer to Hebrews says that these same words apply to us. He will not leave you and he will not forsake you. And this one from Micah 7 is this. I love this. This takes place. Micah was a prophet to Judah in the days when Samaria was fell during his prophecy time. And the things in Judah were just falling apart. The political system was corrupt. People were corrupt. It was just before Hezekiah came and made some reforms, but it was just at the low, low point of the nation's of life, I guess. And this is the word that Micah says, but as for me, and this is from the Amplified Bible, so there's a few little extra things, those ones in the parentheses are little extra comments, but that it helps open up the words. And he says, but as for me, I will look to the Lord, and confident in him, I will keep watch. I will wait with hope and expectancy for the God of my salvation, and my God will hear me. I love that verse. In fact, you know, well, I don't have my phone because it's over there. But you know what? I've discovered a new little trick. You know how your phone, if you got a smartphone, you got the little notepad thing in there? You find those good verses. You find those promises in the Bible that really speak to you, and you put them on that notepad. Oh, and it's always with you. It's an excellent thing. And then if you're feeling kind of low, then you just get out the old phone and look at the promises. I got that one in there, and it's good. So this message today takes place with Jesus and his disciples. And it's in the upper room. He has just finished the Passover meal that he had with his disciples. And it's found in John chapter 14. And we got the words up on the screen today, all of them. But if you want to look in your black Bibles, that's fine. I did not look at the page number. Maybe my wife will look at the page number, John 14, chapter 1. But the scene is, he's just finished this meal with his disciples, and he has just washed their feet to show them what it is like to be a servant, what it means to be a follower of Christ means that you serve your fellow followers. And he announces that he's going to be betrayed. And then he announces that he's going to be going away. Now imagine this. The disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years, following him wherever he went. And now he says, I'm going to go away to a place where you can't come until later. And then he says these words. And this is starting in John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. And you know the way to the place where I am going. So, as I was reading this little passage, and it's not very long, it's just some 20 verses or something like that, but I picked out some things out of here that apply, because this phrase that I'm thinking of, show us the Father, is coming up very soon here. But as Jesus is explaining this to his very afraid disciples and who are fearful of being alone, he is saying, he's giving us some key elements to how to keep that relationship with the Father, how to grow in your relationship. And this is the first one. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. And that's number one. And of course, you guys all know that. The first step into a good relationship with the Heavenly Father is to have a relationship with his Son, to know his Son, to be a part of the family, as PJ was explaining, and being in the family. And so that is the first step. And then, you know, and then Jesus said, this is an ongoing relationship. He says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you that you could be with us forever. And so this relationship is something that is ongoing. And so that's the first step, to realize that I need a relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, and that this relationship is going to go on forever. Hey, Cade, they're starting to fan themselves, so could you turn on some cool? Thanks. I told him earlier, I said, Cade, when people start taking off their clothes and stuff, that means you got to turn the cool on. But I see Brenna. I know where she's at, you know. So you got to get some cool going in here. Don't want me all falling asleep on me, because then I get depressed. But anyways, so you didn't need to believe in Jesus. But now, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? Because there's a lot of people that say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. But do you think that a person that just says, yeah, I believe in Jesus, really believes? Because sometimes when you look at their lifestyle, it doesn't look like they really believe. If you have faith in something, true faith is always demonstrated by actions. And so if I sit on that chair, if I just said, I'm going to sit in that chair, I'll demonstrate that I believe that chair will hold me. I'll sit on that chair. I just told Kay to turn down the temperature. I believe that that furnace will kick in, the air conditioner part of it, at least. And then when he adjusts that thing, it's going to get cool. This after this service, I am going to celebrate by going to Deep Toys for lunch. And I'm just going to walk right in there, and I'm going to order lunch, because I believe that they're going to have lunch for me. When you true belief always results in some action. And so true belief in Jesus as the way and the truth and the life, as he has just said here, has to result in some kind of action on our part. When people see me, they should realize there's something different about that guy. And believe me, even before I was saved, they said that. But now they do see it in a different way. I was, you know my testimony, a lot of you, some of you don't, but when I was saved, I tried as hard as I could to be, under the radar. Secret service. I was in the secret service, I like to say. And so I tried to hide my faith, tried to be, this worldly Christian. Couldn't do it. Everybody saw through that. But anyways, continuing with this, Thomas, get into the next there section, verse 5. There you go. So then Thomas says to Jesus, says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus says, and I got a little bit ahead of myself here, but he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. And so, like I said, your lifestyle should change. As you become a Christian, there should be some evidence of that. And so here's the question that we've been expecting. So as we get to know Jesus, we get to know the Father. So what's this next step? And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. And I get a kick out of this, because that will be enough. What does he mean, that will be enough? Well, I know what he means, that will be enough, because I've asked that question many times. I've met with the Lord, and I've said, Lord, I'm feeling like you're not even here. Will you please show yourself to me? I want to see something. Be like a light in that. You hear about this where people hear a voice, or there's this, vision. I say, Lord, give me a vision. Never does. Never does. But I'm still looking for that. But that's exactly what Philip. That's exactly what Philip is saying. You could rephrase that to say, cause us to see the Father, and then we will believe in you. But Jesus answered with these words. He said, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And if Jesus was Italian, he would say, ay, 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 Peter. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but rather it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. And so where else do we see Jesus doing his work? He's talking about doing the work of Jesus. You see it in the church. You see Jesus when you minister to someone else. You see it when they minister to you. You see Christ working. And that's what the Apostle Paul promises in his word in Ephesians. And from 1 verse 22, he says, and God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And that's always been an amazing thing to me, that, when you go to church, there's some folks you really click with. There's some folks that, they just grind you the wrong way. But Jesus is in all of us, and he is ministering through all of us, in each of our unique personalities, in each of the things that we are doing, and the things that we do within the church and the church body. Just by you coming here today, you are ministering to somebody. Just by you being here, you are encouraging someone in their faith. And that is Christ working through you in the works, and the works that he is doing through you. And as we have praise and blessing time, you get to hear how God is working in the lives of your fellow believers. And that builds your faith. It makes you, yeah, I can trust God, because look at how he's working in them. And there's the testimonies you hear from people when they have their prayers answered. Well, like Naomi, and you get these prayers answered, and right away when you hear an answered prayer, the devil will come into your mind and say, well, yeah, that's a coincidence. Yeah, That was nothing. But there's always the enemy. There's always our own flesh that tries to convince us that God is not working and moving. But he is doing mighty works in us. And then Jesus says this. And this has always been like one of those, wow, this is kind of verse. And he says this in verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me for anything in my name. And I will do it. Ask for anything. That is the goal that we should all have. We should be so close to our Heavenly Father that as we are in a situation, we know what he is thinking. Just like it was with me and my dad. I just knew what he was thinking. But if we could be so intimate with our Father that we can know what he's thinking, as we pray, our prayers will be answered. We can ask for anything. And we always think when we hear these words, we think of those miracles that he did. And that is one of the things. But, you know, Jesus also did a lot of other things. He was the servant of all. And he was the friend of the lowly and of the sinner. And those are the great works as well. The great works that we can do as we reach out to those people that don't have all the things that we have and that don't understand like we understand. And as we reach out to them and as we are Jesus to them, that is a great work. But let us as a church make our relationship with the Father number one. And then we will see things going on that will be an amazing thing as we see God answering our prayers, as we make our Heavenly Father, make the relationship with our Heavenly Father number one in our lives. So our relationship with the Father starts with our relationship with Christ, and then Jesus moves on and he talks about our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so, and he says these words, these words have bothered me more than once. If you love me, keep my commands. So one of the Spirit's jobs, as we'll see here in a little bit, is that he will remind us of the words of Jesus. And he does that, and he does a very good job of that. And one of the big problems that we have in our relationship with Christ is this problem, or our sin. And we sin, and we all sin. But the good news is that by God's grace, Jesus is the solution to that sin. But living in God's grace does not mean that we should never give up our fight against this flesh that we are living in. As I was looking through this, the Life Application Bible had a comment on this, and it says, many have a view of the Christian life that under Christ's grace, we don't have to do anything. Eternal life is truly a gift that we cannot work for or earn, but once we begin that life in Christ, loving and obeying Christ's commands becomes the evidence that he is in us. Like I said earlier, faith, true faith, will result in actions. If we're not bothered by our sin, we have to question whether we are really committed. I mean, when we sin, we should be troubled by that. And that's a good thing because that's the Holy Spirit in you. And you wonder, oh, I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit in me, but that's the Holy Spirit in you, working in you, prompting you, reminding you of the words that Jesus said. And you see, we don't talk about confession too much anymore these days. I don't know. We just don't. I grew up in the Lutheran church, and so we every Sunday confessed our sins. Not to everybody, but we had that in the little liturgy that you would say, yeah, I confess that I'm a sinner. But do you do that on a regular basis? If you're like me, you catch yourself doing something that's not right often, pretty often. And so keep that account short. As soon as you catch yourself, and as soon as you hear the Holy Spirit, you know, practice that art of listening to your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit within you speaking to you. And as soon as you catch that, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be some elaborate thing. Just, Lord, I did it again. Forgive me. Because we need to admit to him, because by admitting to him that we are powerless to fight against this sin, and with sin we will have the rest of our lives on this earth. But if we don't admit to him that we are powerless, then there's some spiritual thing that takes place. We need to admit it out loud, and we have to depend on him. It kind of talks ourselves into depending, that we depend on God for our forgiveness and for his mercy. In fact, you know, if you think about it, he gave his life for that very reason. He gave his life so that we would have someone to go to when we are in need of that forgiveness. And so to sin is not a surprising thing. It's not a surprising thing to God. He's not surprised by anything you do or I do. But we need to keep that sin account short because that sin puts up a barrier between us and our relationship with the Heavenly Father. And so keep that short. And then Paul goes on and talks about how the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." And here I'm going to skip down for those of you who are following along in the Bible. Skip down to verse 26. "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything that I have said to you." So, going in a little Greek, I got to do a little Greek on every sermon. I got to do a little bit of Greek. And you guys, most of you know this, but that word for advocate, in the Greek, it's parakletos, which means a legal advisor or one who comes forward in behalf of and as the representative of another. And in fact, in the way it's used here, that the word before that is allos parakletos, which means this person that's coming alongside of you, this advocate, is of equal stature. So in this case, Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit that comes alongside of you is equal to me. The Holy Spirit is God. He is my equal. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I've read this, when I see the word advocate, and I've heard that before, that, okay, this is this legal advisor, and so I think this advocate, so I think of this being the Holy Spirit coming in my defense to God the judge. Somehow, I always see God as a judge. I do not know why that is. In my mind, I'm always failing to meet the standard. I blame that to my mother. She was very good at heaping on the guilt. My kids, in fact, say, "You would make a good Catholic, Dad. You're always feeling guilty." I don't know how they know so much about being a Catholic, but anyways, I married one, so I know how that was. I know at first, yeah, it's easy to feel guilty. But anyways, when I was studying this, this is not the way it is. This is not the way it is. This is not what Jesus is saying. What he is saying here, he says this advocate, this Holy Spirit, is defending God. And we are the judge. So this Holy Spirit just completely changes the whole thing. The Holy Spirit is defending God to us. He says this, "Oh, child of God, your heavenly Father is for you. Child of God, just as you want the best for your children, your Father wants the best for you. Child of God, as you love your children in spite of their actions, so your Father loves you. Child of God, you are the Father's masterpiece, created in love. Child of God, you've been chosen by your Father. You have been saved at a great cost, and your Father has a place for you to be with him forever and ever." That's the heart of the Father, and that is the heart that the Holy Spirit wants to defend to us. Your Father absolutely loves you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So then Jesus says these words. These are awesome words. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives." And so I got to be thinking, okay, what does the world give me? Because we are so attracted to and drawn by the world. You know, and I don't get that exactly, because when you think about it, the world gives discontentment. The world gives insecurity. The world gives fear. The world gives lust for more and more and more with never any satisfaction. The world gives conflict. The world gives chaos. That's what the world gives. But Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Did you see that in there? Do not let your hearts be troubled. As we, you know, I was saying earlier, you know, if you allow your thoughts to go down that negative path, that's where they are. That's where they'll stay, and that's where they'll grow. They'll grow and fester down there. Jesus says, don't allow that. Don't allow your hearts to be troubled. Rest in the knowledge that your Heavenly Father, he has this. He has your back, and he is for you. And as that relationship grows, as you spend your time with the Heavenly Father, as you make that your number one priority, that means you're going to have to give up some other stuff. That means you might have to skip over some stuff that you really like to do. You don't have to skip over it every time, but once in a while, you probably have to skip over it. Spend that time with your Father, getting to know Jesus, getting to allow the Holy Spirit, getting to know His voice. But as you spend that time and as your relationship with your Father grows, you will experience that love that your Heavenly Father has for you, and you will trust Him. Through all the ups and the downs of life, He's with us, and we will have this sense of His presence with us. And the good news is it's a relationship that will never end. Start cultivating. Start cultivating that relationship now while you're here. This is like the battleground of fertilization. I'm thinking farming here now. Okay. This is the battleground of cultivating this relationship that we have with Christ. It starts here and it goes on forever and ever and ever. Listen to these words again from Micah. But as for me, I will look to the Lord and be confident in Him. I will keep watch. I will wait with hope and expectancy for the God of my salvation. My Father will hear me. Hey, let's pray. So, Father in heaven, You are awesome in Your ways and glorious in Your grace and Your mercy toward us. Today, as You revealed through Jesus and Your Holy Spirit, help us to see You as You really are. Lord, help us to realize the full extent of Your love for us. Lord, I've been there and I've experienced that love that is an amazing love. I pray that in this place, everyone gathered here will sense that amazing love that You have for them. Holy Spirit, come and speak Your truth to our hearts. Give us a faith to believe with a life-changing belief. Cast out the troubled and fearful thoughts that we have allowed into our hearts and replace them, Lord, with Your peace. That marvelous, that wonderful peace that passes all understanding, and guard our hearts in Christ Jesus. Amen.